Welcome back to my show, Mind Matters. On the telephone, I have Barry Vaughan. Barry, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good, and yourself?
Great.
So you heard me earlier on talking a bit about time management and about my reflection on the fact that I have been struggling with my time management. So I told them all that you're the expert anyhow, you know, so I'm not building you up too much, I hope.
Well, like, I'm quite a slow learner, so like what I tend to do is I do something wrong for 10 to 20 years.
Yeah, I know the feeling, yeah.
Properly. Then I learn how to do it properly, and then I don't miss the old way of doing things.
Oh yeah, exactly. But I mean, unfortunately, it doesn't happen as quickly as that. It doesn't happen as quickly as you saying in your mind, "Oh, I'm going to change," and then you change.
There has to be readiness. Like, I think actually, most people, they only actually change through necessity. Like, if in my own case, I was doing personal training. I had 150 clients in a week.
Wow.
It was one trainer, two clients. So it was 150 clients. I had about 1,000 people a week.
Wow.
In classes.
Okay.
That you're interacting with and you're saying hello to and you're giving exercises to with a microphone. And then I would have had about 10 physical therapy clients. And I think I was doing other silly things then, like trying to volunteer for things and, you know, teach outside of work and everything. And what I didn't realize was, at the time, not just time management, I didn't know anything about, but energy management. Because what I didn't realize was, in every interaction with another person, there's an energy exchange. So if you're meeting 1,000 people in a week, customers or patients, something like that, you're going to give them some of your energy to make them feel better. So when I was very tired, you know, 10 years ago, I didn't realize that was the reason, where it was all outward flow and no filling up again, if that makes sense.
No, I just, as you're saying that there, I never really thought about that aspect before, like, but yeah, I can see what you're talking about, like, because, you know, just interacting with people is giving away a lot of your energy and a lot of your time. So I never really thought about that before, like, you know. I think we were talking about, when I was talking to you the other day, about the fact that, you know, I'd be better off to be working with 10 clients a week rather than working with, you know, 30 or 40 clients a week. But it makes sense now about the flow of energy as well, rather than just time management.
Of course, I didn't know it at the time because, like, if someone goes into a gym setting or a physical therapy setting, they're coming in and their energy is low. I think Zumba was a fantastic example. You'd see people queuing up outside. Go in, and God knows I wasn't teaching Zumba, but I'd hurt everyone if I was teaching it, all off the stage.
Yeah.
But they're queuing up outside the door in a low energy state. They've had a tough day at work and they're feeling low. But they get into a place and meet this special guy, and there's loud music and there's an energy exchange, and even they're full up. There was a 60-year-old lady walking down the corridor one night, and I said, "Do you feel good now after that?" She said, "I feel 16.
Yeah, wow.
Whereas that energy has to come from somewhere, and normally it's coming from the service provider in the fitness industry or the therapy world. Where especially in the early part of your career, you're giving away all your energy to the client.
Wow, yeah. So then learning about boundaries and stuff like that is probably really important as well then.
Yeah, and I didn't know, but when I became a self-employed business person or entrepreneur, then realized that there's only so many hours in the day, you've only so much energy, you're pouring from a limited supply, and actually your energy and your time is your most valuable asset when you're a business owner.
Yes, yes.
So I fell into the same trap a second time when I started doing online coaching. I was advised to take on 5 clients and do a really good job. What did I do? 23 clients. And what I did then, I noticed that that's 23 hours of face-to-face coaching. I just found I was wrecked, I was tired, and I still didn't learn until I had good advice from mentors and friends, and they said, basically, Barry, how do you feel? I feel tired. Like how you feel? No. Would you be willing to do this for the next 10 years? God, no. Will you change if you think so? Yes.
Yeah.
So you have to be up in it. You have to be in the overwhelm.
Yeah.
To live there for a couple of weeks and understand that it's not nice.
Yeah.
When I get on the phone with someone now, they're more than ready to change.
Yeah. And I must say, I'm just reflecting there myself, you know, and it's what I was saying as well before you came on, like about listening to your body and listening to your gut. And I must notice over the last couple of weeks, I've been very tired. I can't get enough sleep, and I'm getting 8 hours sleep, and I'm still wrecked when I'm waking up in the morning. And I'm just realizing now, like, that it is everything that you're just saying there, like that I have been giving too much of my energy outwards, and I'm being drained from it. So yeah, that's actually ringing true for me as you're talking.
If you don't mind me saying, there's a few other counsellors have contacted me in the last couple of months, and they've said that for whatever reason they're very tired.
Mm.
And when I ask them a few questions, it turns out the average level of overwhelm or stress in the patient is gone up, which is taking a toll on the therapist.
Mm.
Definitely old school therapy, you have to give someone your full attention.
Yeah.
There's a really serious energy exchange there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, if the problems are deeper, it does, like you could have 10 clients with moderate problems,
mm-hmm.
10 clients with serious problems. The serious clients will take more out of you.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Fill up the cup on the other side by taking better care of yourself. That's the next step.
Mm-hmm. So what's your advice that I do? I mentioned there, and I know I didn't say it to you, but I've taken the big part out of my life, I think, of actually saying I'm not going to write a book this year. And I do say that as soon as I made that decision, as soon as I sent those emails, I felt a massive relief in myself. Like, I must admit, I didn't realize how much I was carrying by having that promise to myself. And bear in mind, I hadn't told anybody really that I was going to writing a book. So there's probably friends and family on listening to the show tonight going, geez, I didn't even know he was going to write a book. So I must admit, a massive relief when I just, and that all came about from literally talking to you and you saying, you know, time management, Shane, have you thought much about time management? And I suddenly stopped and literally went, oh, I haven't actually thought. And I have been spiraling over the last few weeks, you know.
And as well, that's okay.
Mm.
I learned something new recently, and it's very funny, on the topic of overwhelm. There's a thing called the Peter effect. Within a big organization, and it sounds really hurtful and harsh, but it's true. You actually, within a big organization, if you're working for a huge multinational corporation, you actually get promoted over and over again until you find a level which you can't get past.
Yes.
And that basically, and it sounds insulting, but it's actually true.
Mm.
So until you reach your appropriate level of incompetence,
yes,
structure,
yes,
and progress beyond it. And then what happens is people tend to stay in that final job for the longest duration, 5-10 years.
Mm.
As a self-employed person, so that's a coach, a therapist, a builder, a shop owner, a restaurant owner.
Mm.
If you're self-employed, there's a different model. What actually happens is you get overwhelmed by something that's worth about 300 euro.
Yeah.
And then you have sleepless nights, you have a sick stomach, itchy skin, sore back. If you're lucky, you learn to cope with that overwhelm and level up in terms of your coping mechanisms. The following year, you get upset by something that's worth 3,000 euro.
Mm.
And for an entrepreneur, the real trick is, how can you teach people to deal with bigger and bigger loads, bigger and bigger stresses,
mm-hmm.
and get better and better at getting rid of that overwhelm.
It's, yes.
In sport science, you'll be teaching a person how to deal with inflammation better.
Mm.
Where, you know, like if someone has rheumatoid arthritis or fibromyalgia, they're really bad at dealing with inflammation.
Yes.
Among other things, you can actually just apply a sports science model to people like that and give them exercises and routines to make them better at clearing inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Overwhelm is the exact same. It's not bad. It's like, you know, inflammation in the body isn't bad. It's, if there's too much of it and you can't clear it, it becomes a problem.
Yes.
Overwhelm is the main thing that makes you grow.
Mm.
The right amount of pressure for the right amount of time turns coal into a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no such thing as succeeding without pressure. And do you remember Hans Sale, the physiologist? He coined the term stress for the first time ever.
Yes.
In the 50s. And he said there was two types of stress, eustress and distress.
Mm.
Eustress is good and de-stress is bad.
Mm.
And I actually have clients at the minute, they're experiencing overwhelm and physical trouble because they have too much good stress going on.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, there's no good and bad in nature.
Mm.
Everybody that's experiencing loads of stress, You just need to learn some new coping mechanisms so you can deal with it better, that's all.
Yeah. I remember working a lot younger. I used to work in restaurants, and I used to run a lot of different restaurants, and bigger restaurants. I mean, there was... I remember the Conrad Hilton in Dublin, and the restaurant would do a turnover of about 1,000 covers in an evening. And I remember having an aha moment. I actually had it in Silver Springs in Cork. And I had an aha moment where I realised it doesn't matter how busy it gets. It's the same stress. And it's just the understanding that to stay present and stay where you are and stay where you're at. Like I had an understanding that stress is stress, and you know, when it moves into that overwhelming feeling, this is all well before I went into the world of psychotherapy myself, that story just came along, and I remember my life changed overnight in that aha epiphany moment about stress and about actually letting go of that stress and just stepping back and staying present, you know.
Yeah, and it's just not to, I think the main thing is not to take things personally, and to realise, I said this like 10 times today, to realise as well that we're on a ball of rock spinning through outer space, right?
Yeah.
And that, like, the tone of voice that someone used, you know, when they were speaking to you yesterday, doesn't matter, like, compared to what's going on, because universe is in existence for 13.8 billion years.
Yeah.
It's going to be around after the snarky comments are forgotten.
Yeah.
Like,
so what tips would you have for people about when people notice that maybe they're spiraling or something like that going on in life, like, you know, that they're struggling with their time management?
I was thinking what I was going to say to you, and the thing is, before I'd give someone advice, you'd need some kind of a mechanism to get their attention, because otherwise the advice would go in one ear and out the other.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds great, but I'll do it next year.
Okay.
What I've been using the last couple of weeks with myself and my clients is to snap them back to reality. I've spoken to them about a thing called memento mori from Stoicism. Have you heard of that?
I have.
Like, I'll basically say to them, like, just remember, like, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Sods, like.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee that it's not going to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what you do now is just for the sake of 10 seconds, 30 seconds, just pretend that you've died, that you're dead, right?
Yeah.
Because you're gonna. Someone sat in a chair on the phone on a radio interview and died before. So
yes.
Safe. You already went right, didn't I? And then if I was dead, just live in it for 30 seconds, take a few breaths, and then turn around and say, right, well, of the remaining time that I have, am I going to waste it or am I going to use it? Because in Stoicism, the definition of hell is that on your last day, the best version of you, the ultimate expression of your potential, comes back to visit you at your deathbed and tells you what a mess you've made of things.
Okay.
And that's dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's dark enough to actually snap someone out of overwhelm. Because they're like, oh, Jesus, you're right. And I like it because hidden just behind that statement, it's like a double-headed statement, because hidden just behind it is, I'm not dead.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, well, if death was to come and visit you and said you're dying next week, most people would probably say, come on, give me another week.
Exactly.
And then death would say to you, yeah, but what did you do for the last 51 weeks?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, I wasted them. I was busy. Netflix.
Yeah.
And then what helps my clients, because my clients could have anywhere between 5,000 and 12,000 employees. So they've got, when they turn on their computer in the morning at 9 o'clock, they've got 1,000 emails waiting for them.
Yeah.
So they need to have deeper conversations about, you know, the meaning of things. And they really need to see the finish line in the distance before they'll change.
Mm.
Oh my God, you're dead right. Life is precious. Maybe I should make the most use of it. And then when they do, when you find, it's like the carrot and the stick. And if someone is ready for change, then what I use is a thing called a time management blueprint. And I gave you a copy yesterday on PDF. You can actually circulate that to your own clients anytime you want.
Yeah.
And they could find me on Facebook or LinkedIn if they search Barry Vaughan.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is there's three steps in that training. The first step is literally, I have it in front of me. What it is. The first step is, you know the way when your head's spinning and you've loads on, you can see what you're supposed to do. List the top 10 tasks that seem to take up the most time and energy,
yeah,
each and every week, in order of priority from most important to least important.
Okay.
So clients of mine are in construction. It's a lot of them. So it might be invoicing, getting the site, ordering the materials, picking up the materials, sending emails.
Mm.
They'll write down the 10 things that make their business run, the nuts and bolts of how they run their business. And then the second step is we actually classify those tasks as to how they make them feel. Like, have you anything in your job that you'd call firefighting, where it's like problem solving 100 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Did 40. I suppose it's probably giving people counselling.
Well, yeah, it's probably it, yeah. Or trying to, I suppose, running the Cancer Support Centre, like, it can get a bit firefighting mode sometimes when I have a lot of calls to catch up in between, because I'm both the running the centre and I'm also a psychotherapist, means that I my gaps are kind of like in between clients. I'm firefighting, I'm trying to catch up on myself, you know?
If you did 50, 60 hours of that, you'd be done. You'd be in bed.
Yeah.
Right? So that's quadrant one. That's how we classify it. It's firefighting. It's normally face-to-face meetings and running around.
Mm-hmm.
Quadrant two is different. It's quality time. So spending time on your health. It's urgent, but it's not. It's really important, but not urgent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your physical health, your mental health.
Yeah.
You know, time in nature, doing business development so that your business is, you know, 110% bigger next year compared to this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that most people that I speak to, they never do it.
Yeah.
So then they're surprised why their business is the same size 6 months later. It's because they've been running on a treadmill at 100 miles an hour. They haven't invested any time into new opportunities or business growth. That's why it's the same.
Yeah.
Quadrant three, and this is a very visual thing, so they'll see it when they download the thing.
Yeah.
Quadrant three is, are there things within your business, or if you're running a GA club or a charity, is there things within your job that you could delegate, automate, or outsource quite easily? And then there's going to be a few. Like for me, that's emails and the social media stuff. I can do it once, and then I can schedule it all.
Yeah.
And then quadrant four is eliminate. Like, is there stuff in your schedule that you're actually spending time on that's not serving you, it's not helping you? For me now, that used to be going through Instagram. Like, God bless Instagram, it's the lowest rung of the ladder when it comes to education. But I would go through looking at rehabilitation videos and clever exercises and things like that. And I'd never implement them, but I just look at them.
Yeah.
So that's a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
Instead of that, I'd either schedule a small amount of time for that in the schedule or scrap it all together.
Yeah.
And what you want to look at is, if you're using Google Calendar or Microsoft Outlook for your time management, you want to see a mixture of red and green.
Yeah.
So it's not all red.
Yeah.
And there is a client of mine, a very successful client. He lost 60 pounds, co-wrote the affordable housing bill this year, got a promotion worth 20 grand, and he put it all down, not to me or the super help that we gave him or anything, but he put that down to time management. Because he was actually making the full use of his talents. And he works 9 to 5 now, days, where he used to work, you know, 7 to 7.
Yeah.
So he's actually working less, but he's doing way better.
Yeah.
That's what you want to, that's the real promise that you want to make someone, is that you can actually learn to work less and do better.
Yeah.
And the third step of it then is to take it from paper and actually implement it in something like Google Calendar or Outlook. So that, say, for example, I have one open in front of me, a client here. He now does business development between the hours of 8 and 11, 5 days a week.
Okay.
So that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's like 15 hours of business development that he wasn't doing last year. So now, of course, his business is going to grow. And he still has loads of time for firefighting between 11 and 1.
Yeah.
He still has time at 2 o'clock for delegating out jobs to members of his team. And he still has time at 3 o'clock to play Candy Crush on his phone before he goes home.
Okay.
So that particular guy has gone from 75 grand to 90 grand in the last couple of weeks. And his wife had a third baby.
Wow.
When he got in touch first, he was basically a victim of his own success. He said, Barry, I'm due for a promotion and my wife is due for a third baby. And to be honest with you, even at the current level, I'm feeling overwhelmed. So even though both of those things are good news, I'm afraid that those good things are going to sink me.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a timeline for both things. It just so happened that it was 3 months. It was grand.
Yeah.
And he basically was able to set himself up that he basically works a 4-day week now.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled a trick in work where he was due quite a lot of holidays anyway. So he had been making lip service, you know, saying that he was going to go on a 4-day week, but he actually wasn't able because he couldn't get his work done in time. But what he's done now is he's on his 4-day week for the rest of this year,
mm-hmm.
and he's got all his work done and he's ahead of schedule.
Wow.
And then obviously then the emotional state changes. There's no more need for antidepressants. There's no more need for Xanax. There's no more need for drink. There's no more need for CBD oil. There's no more need for anything.
Yeah.
Because his energy input is the same as his energy output. In fact, he's got a surplus of energy now, which means there's enough time to go and run 10K.
Yeah.
There's enough time to take the kids to the playground while his wife has asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I think time management is one word for it. I think energy management is better.
Yeah, I think that's a better word, yeah.
Most people are just in an energy deficit.
Mm.
And they're wondering why they're tired. It's because they're a metal bucket and they're full of holes.
Yeah.
And they keep trying to top up the bucket with caffeine.
Yeah.
And, you know, negative self-talk saying they should be better.
Mm.
You can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is this time management blueprint, right? It's a free resource. It's available to anybody.
Yeah.
There's three steps in it. And what I'll do is put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that wants help with it, I'll help them with they do the first step on their own.
Yeah.
I'll help them with step 2 and 3.
Okay, fantastic.
There's no catches because, like, out of doing, if I do that 100 times, I'm going to get 5 or 6 new clients out of it.
Yeah.
Fine with
it.
I've time for that because I've done time management.
You've done energy management.
I have, and like the way I do it now, I have 12 hours a week for kind of like interviewing new people to see if they could become clients.
Yes.
Out of those 12 people, I only take on 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it means there's 8 hours up for grabs there, free coaching for people for 15, 20, 30 minutes on their worst topic. Now, some people, all they do is get the free advice and then they shoot off.
Yeah.
But they come back 3 months later, having implemented, and they're sorted.
Yeah.
And that's a nice feeling as well.
Yeah. So if someone wants to try and find you, they can find you on Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook and LinkedIn. So I get about 90% of the clients through LinkedIn and 10% through Facebook.
But we met each other on LinkedIn, so there you go.
Yeah. And like, if they literally send me a message on Facebook or LinkedIn and just say maybe energy.
Yeah.
I'll send them back the training.
Okay.
I'll send them a link to a video explaining how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And all they have to do is literally write down their top 10 tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll help them with the rest.
Okay. So spell your second name for them, Barry.
So Vaughan is Vaughan.
Okay. Perfect.
It's a blue background on everything because it's a blueprint.
Okay. Perfect.
A lot of construction clients.
As always, thank you for having a chat, Anion. I definitely will have you on a few other times to pick your brains. And I think you've probably helped me with my energy management this week. And even for me now, I got a few aha moments, as I call them, in our discussion today. So anything that I learn from, I'm very appreciative of. So thank you very much for giving up your time to talk about this, Barry.
I'd like to challenge you as well, Shane, just to write down your top 10 tasks in your job.
Yeah.
And I promise you, I'll help you make a slightly nicer schedule for yourself over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Appreciate that, Barry.
You're looking after everyone else. Make sure you're looking after yourself too.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much, Barry.
Okay.
Talk to you soon. Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.